We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And it is a privilege and honor to come to you today, sharing the Word of God. As we talked about on yesterday's broadcast, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say rejoice. And so, if you've listened to this broadcast, you know I really rejoice on Thursdays, because that's my day off. It's the end of several days of preaching in a row. I do two services on Sunday. I do the radio Monday, and then Fiji. And then Tuesday, two services on Wednesday. And by the time Thursday gets here, my voice is ready for a break. So thank you for tuning in. It's a beautiful day. It's a great privilege and honor to serve our risen Savior. And so today we're going to turn right back into the Word, Philippians chapter 4. We're working up to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As we conclude our study on the fact that God wants to strengthen us. But I thought we would work all the way up to that point so you could see the context of what God has to say in His Word. So in verse number 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And we'll just stop there, and then we'll read some more here in just a minute. So yesterday, as we concluded the broadcast, we had talked about be anxious for nothing. And so I want to start off today about talking about something in your life that is powerful or powerless to change anything, and replacing it with something that can change everything. And that is a simple exchange between worry and prayer. Letting go of worry and clinging to prayer. So it says here in verse number 6, be anxious for nothing. Jesus said that today's got enough, you've got enough on your plate for today. You don't need to be worrying about tomorrow and the things that may never come to pass. What if this happens and what if that happens? Let me tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus Christ is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to be ruling and reigning on the throne. Everything is going to be firmly under His control. If you're His child, He's holding you in His hands. You're the object of His affection, the apple of His eye. He loves you, and He's promised that nothing is going to be able to snatch you out of His hand. You ought to have great peace. And so be anxious for nothing. Declare that this Thursday is going to be a worry-free day. A worry-free day. I was talking to someone a few days ago, and they were facing a situation in their life, and they said, "You know, I'm not nearly as panicked about this situation as I have been before." And so that's what we want to do, is we want to grow stronger in our relationship with God, so that the things, the tactics, the strategies that the enemy used to use and get us all bound up in worry and apprehension and all of those physical sufferings, afflictions that come upon our body because of worry. Worry will, you know, doesn't help ulcers. Worry will affect your blood pressure, and you just don't need that stress in your life. And so be anxious for nothing. In the verse right before that, it says the Lord is at hand. And so when you know that that Jesus Christ, your Lord, is right there, then you do not have to worry about anything. It says, but in everything, so we went from nothing to everything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And if I can just carve out that that next little phrase there, let your requests be made known to God. So in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the other phrase in just a moment. So whatever situation you might be facing, it might be a child-related issue, it might be a financial, it might be work-related. In everything, you have the hotline to heaven. You have the ability to pick up the phone, the spiritual phone, and call the throne of grace and find help in your time of need. God is never going to say, I'm too busy to hear from you right now. He's never going to be too distracted. He's never going to have a higher priority on his agenda. He is going to be there to listen to our cries for help. So here it says, in everything by prayer and supplication. First, let me say this. Prayer is not just you talking to God. Prayer is also us hearing from God. We are to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If the Lord is at hand and we're facing a situation, should not we ask how he would handle this situation? After all, he is an expert. He is wisdom personified. He is the epitome of wisdom and experience and expertise. He knows how to deal with the situation that you might be facing. He just doesn't have a perception. He has a grasp on reality of what is going on. And so he is available for you and I to pray and say, God, I just want to thank you that you are walking with me through this situation the same way that you walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. God, I want to thank you that just as you were with Daniel in the den of lions, you are here with me in this situation, and you can shut the enemy's mouth. You can loose the things that have me bound. You can cause my clothing to not even come out of this dilemma with a scent of any affliction. And so I encourage you to make everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God. The other part of that is the supplication part. And there's a passage in Zechariah, a little bitty minor prophet book. I'm going to see if I can turn there and find the reference real quick. But while I'm doing that, supplication is if you look at it, it is has to do with the supply aspect. We are talking to God, and it is not just him hearing our communications, but he also has the ability to provide our supply. And so supplication is talking to God and making a request known for the supplies that we need. Right now, we are praying for laborers to partner with us at Merit Assembly of God. That is what we are praying for. In fact, right before I came here to do this program, someone called and they said, look, I'm part of the prayer team of Assemblies of God District, and it wasn't even our district here in Florida. And he said, I just wanted to know, do you have any prayer requests? Do you have anything that we could agree with you in prayer about? And my request was this. We're asking God for laborers so that we can be even more effective in reaching the lost with the good news of Jesus Christ. After all, the scripture says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest field. And then that sentence or that answer goes on and says, now you go into the harvest field. And so we're out there, but if we're going to reach people, if we truly believe that the Lord is at hand, like we talked about on yesterday's broadcast, then we need to be all the more efficient, all the more deliberate in trying to reach as many people as we possibly can. I've got a friend of mine who is ministering in the Ukraine right now. He is part of the humanitarian supply effort to try and reach people in the Ukraine. And he said, this project is so much bigger than what I can possibly do. And people said, do you really think you're going to make a difference? And he said, well, when I go to bed tonight, I am going to go to bed with the understanding that I have done my best to reach as many people as I can and to help as many people as I can. Now, in Zechariah chapter 12, verse number 10, it says, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And so there it says that God is going to pour on his covenant people the spirit of grace and supplication. And so whenever we are coming to God and we are anxious for nothing, but we are making our request known to God, we are making our request known to the God who owns everything, who knows everything, and is able to provide everything. And so it is not something that is just birthed out of our need, but instead, if you go back to Zechariah chapter 12 and look at verse 10, you're going to see that this process of supplication actually begins with God. It actually begins with God. And he says, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. God says, in that time, I am going to pour out myself a spirit of supplication. And so you and I, as we are in this supplication process, we need to realize that it began with the heart of God. It was something God wanted to do, and he wants it to get into our spirit. It is a spiritual endowment from heaven where we cry out and we say, God, be the one who supplies all my needs. Be the one who supplies all my needs. I'm not even going to worry about it because I am confident in your supply. If you go on and look in Zechariah chapter 12, verse number 10, you are going to see that then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And what you see is that when we have that spiritual endowment of supplication, that people begin to see Jesus as the sacrificial lamb that he truly was. They are going to look and they're going to say, what have I done? Look at what Jesus has done for me. And so, Can we just take a moment right here in the, I mean, we're right in the middle of the program, but I don't know about you, but I need God to deal with people's hearts. I need him to open people's eyes so that they can see Jesus for who he is. Father, right now, Lord, we want to thank you that you have a plan to reach every person in this community. And God, for those who are listening right now, I pray that you would banish fear and worry and anxiety from their mind. Lord, I pray that if there's any and they've had physical complications from that, God, that you would heal them right now and deliver them from that anxiety that the enemy would have them live under. God, and I pray that you would give them the spirit that you've wanted us to have. Lord, that is the spirit of grace, the spirit of empowerment, the spirit of supplication. And God, I pray that every person here today would realize that you have provided everything that we have need of. God, I want to thank you for the abundant mercy that you've shown to us and the grace that you've shown to us. And now, God, as you supply these needs, would you make Jesus known through us? Through us, would you spread the fragrance of your presence so that people would know that you are on the throne. God, I pray for every person listening, Lord, that they would see Jesus personally as for who he is, but also that they would see people's lives change, that they would be communicating the good news of Jesus Christ to those in their sphere of influence. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So in everything, by prayer and supplication, even on Thursdays. And then it says, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. And so as we are presenting our need and realizing that God is able to supply everything that is needed to answer that need, then we can already proceed and move into the thanksgiving mode. I am a firm believer that thanksgiving causes us, and I've said this phrase a number of times over the past few broadcasts, I really think there's something to this, and that is it causes us to shift gears. It causes us to go to another dimension that, like the leper that came back and said thank you to Jesus for cleansing him of his leprosy. And Jesus said, where are the other nine? Weren't there 10 of you? Where are the other nine? And Jesus told that leper to go, that he was made whole. He was made whole. You see, I don't just want the rampage of sin in my life to stop. I want it to stop, and I want God to reverse the effects, to reverse the effects. And so thanksgiving, us coming back and thanking God for the work that he's already done, even in advance, thanking him, that it causes us to shift gears. It causes even a greater degree. It causes something to be done, because God's supply is not limited. God's not into the rationing business. He's not into the rationing business. He is able to meet all of our needs. It says, let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now remember, all of this begins with the Lord at hand. And it says, so as we're making this known, it's not a long distance. We're not having to send our requests and our supplications. We're not having to write a petition and send it off via snail mail or Pony Express or any of that. Instead, we realize that we're in the presence of the King right there, that we have come before the throne of grace to find help in our time of need. So let your requests be made known to God. And I love this verse number 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I want to talk about the peace of God. The peace of God. When you see that God is at hand, that he's sovereign, that he's all-powerful, that he is all-wise, all-loving, all-caring, he has all of those attributes. He has no flaws. And when you see his response to your request, understand that God's never going to be wringing his hands and say, oh, I've never seen a problem this big before. I've never seen a problem so overwhelming. It is a mountain higher than anything I've ever perceived before. No, you're going to see that God is bigger than all of those problems. Bigger than all of those problems. I don't have the reference right now, but I've talked about it here on the program, where it says God is in the heavens and he stoops down to look upon the things of earth. He literally humbles himself. He stoops down because he is just so much larger than what we could ever perceive. He is bigger than the heavens. So whenever scientists tell us that this particular phenomena in the heavens is billions of light years away, and you know, however they measure that, I interpret that this way. Wow, God is even bigger than that. And I don't believe he's just a smidgen bigger. I believe that he's infinitely more powerful, infinitely larger. And so the peace of God, keep your eyes on Jesus, and whatever you see his reaction to your situation is, make that your reaction to the situation. Make that your reaction. And so when I look at God, I see that he is at peace, that he is not it's not a lack of concern, but he's not anxious about it. He's not fretting. You know, the other day my son was in the he was at the Dallas Cowboys Monday Night Football game. So that would have been about a week and a half ago. He and his wife had gone out there. He's a Dallas Cowboys fan, and that game went into overtime. And you know, God is not like that situation where, you know, the clock is ticking down, the play clock is ticking down, and oh my goodness, are we going to get the snap off? Or are we not going to get the snap off? Or we're going to have to call timeout. It's not like one of those situations in an action movie where, you know, the world is going to blow up if we don't get it in this half a second right here. God is got the situation completely under control. He is at peace because he knows the beginning and the end and the process in between. He has peace. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I am confident that there are things that I do not know, do not understand, and I do not have to figure out the logistics of it. One of the examples, and I know that there are people that are smart, and they know how all of this stuff works, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I really am. I do not understand how you can drill down into the ground, and all of a sudden water will come up out of the ground, and it will be cleaner water than the water that is sitting on the surface. That is an amazing concept to me. I don't have to understand it. I just drink it. You know, if they tell me that the water is clean and it's healthy and it's a benefit to my body needs water, I drink it. Now, if it is discolored, if it smells and all that sort of stuff, I'm not going to drink that. But what I'm trying to communicate is I don't understand how that process works with water coming up out of the ground, but I do know that it has a benefit to me. It is beyond my understanding, but I do not deprive myself of the benefit of it. Some people want to know all of the details and all of the circumstances. They want to know, you know, where every I is, where every T is. They want to know step by step by step. And what I believe God really wants to develop in us is an attitude where we trust him beyond our understanding. You see, I don't have to know how God is going to solve the problem. I just believe that he's going to solve the problem. And so because I trust him, even though my understanding is limited, I do not let that deprive me of my peace. I let the peace of God surpass my understanding, because what I do understand is that God loves me and he loves you and he's going to take care of you. And it says, and let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You need to understand that the devil wants to bring the problems and that we face, and he wants to cause there to be internal complications because of the external circumstances that we are dealing with. He wants it to cause your heart and your mind to operate the way he wants it to instead of the way that God wants it to. And so here, Paul writes to the Philippians, and he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that peace that comes from walking with God and crying out to him, and instead of worrying, crying out in prayer and in supplication and with thanksgiving, making our needs be known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses, it has a benefit. It guards my heart. It guards my heart, and it guards my mind. Your mind is your greatest battlefield. Your mind can be used by Satan to try and get you to rationalize yourself into sin. Listen, when Satan tries to get you to use your mind and come up with spiritual loopholes to where you can do, he's not doing that because he's your friend. He is trying to steal something from you. And so I don't want my mind to be manipulated by the enemy. I don't want my heart weighed down by the burdens and cares that I could cast upon Jesus because he cares for us. I don't want heart problems, and I don't want mental problems. I do want the peace of God. And so God gives us his peace. So when we see him at peace, then we know that he wants us to be whole as well. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, on tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to begin at verse number 8 and talking about the way that the process that Jesus guards our mind. We play a part in that. But I want you to know that the peace of God doesn't come through anyone else other than Jesus Christ. Jesus is our peace. He is our peace manifest. And so we need to understand that. You can't just get rid of the problems and then all of a sudden you're going to have peace. What you're going to have is emptiness. My problem with creating a void in my life is something's going to fill that void. Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring you peace. He's the only one that can guard your heart, and he's the only one who will guard your mind. And so I want him guarding my heart. I want him guarding. It says the heart is deceitfully wicked, and so I need him to protect me even from myself. And so thank God that we can cry out to him. So let's close in prayer for today's broadcast, and we will come back and finish or move on into chapter or to verses 8 through 8 and 9 tomorrow. But Father, I just pray right now for anybody who, Lord, may have been susceptible to the spirit of fear or anxiety. God, I pray that you would remove that right now, and Lord, that you would replace that. Lord, that you would let them know the powerful gift of prayer and supplication that you have given to them, that they can come boldly before the throne of grace and find help in their time of need. God, I pray for people right now who are troubled with the situations and circumstances that they're facing in their life. God, I pray that they would see you firmly in control, firmly in love with them, and firmly able to deal with every enemy. God, I pray that the peace of God would guard hearts and minds today. In Jesus' name, we will see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."